All right. Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome you all to the August 15th regular meeting for the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission. We are now called to order. We'll pause for our invocation, then we'll proceed immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance. Heavenly Father, we ask that you impart a spirit of cooperativeness, collaboration, and overall good faith for the good of our community. We ask that you impart a spirit of fairness in the decision making. We ask that you cover each individual that is here, and we ask that you guide and direct us as we facilitate the works of our community. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the United States of America, to the Republic which stands, our nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Okay. So for the petitioners and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and then adjournment. For each item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering at that time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give that to staff. If you are participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the raise your hand feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone, and we ask that you unmute your microphone as well. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted, and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent of the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on the petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if you're in person, fill out a speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal, then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. As general housekeeping, we ask that if you would please mute or put your cell phones on vibrate, that'd be greatly appreciated. And we'll go ahead into the next item on the agenda. And that is the approval of the agenda.
Call's motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Jared, second.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Ms. Jarrett. If there's no discussion on that, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved. Now we move on to notices and proclamation, notice proclamations and acknowledgments. There's one, August 15, 2023, the MPC bylaws workshop at 11:30 in the Jerry Cerny Currents conference room at 112 East State Street. We move on to the next item on the agenda. That is items requested to be removed from the final agenda. And I will read those for the record. It is a text amendment, a zoning ordinance, Article 7, Section 13-1, Hotel Development Overlay District. Another one, text amendment, zoning ordinance, Article 7, Section 13-1-6, Hotel Development Overlay District. A map amendment, zoning ordinance, Article 7, Section 13, Hotel Development Overlay District. Next item is a map amendment, a zoning ordinance, Article 7, Section 13, Hotel Development Overlay District. And then we have 810 East Broad Street. That's 613-2623 East Gwinnett Street, 610-614 East Bolton Street. Request to rezone 9 parcels, and the petition number is 23-001-408-ZA. Is there a motion to remove the items as requested?
Cole, so moved.
There's a second. The motion made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Coleman. There's no discussion on that motion. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you. Move on to the next item on the agenda. That's items to request it to be withdrawn. There are none listed. That brings us to the consent agenda. Again, the consent agenda consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and for which no known objections have been identified nor anticipated by staff. Any objections raised at the meeting will result in the item being moved to the regular agenda. And we'll, on the consent agenda, there is a few items. The first one being the approval of the July 25th, 2023 special call meeting minutes. The next item on the agenda is 202 East 37th Street, major subdivision, and that petition number is 23-002-825. And the next is number 9, authorize the executive director to execute and file FY 2024 FTA Transit Planning Grant, section 5303. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Cole, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Coleman. There's no discussion on said motion. We'll entertain a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries and the consent agenda is approved. If there is any member of the public that is here in person or online that was here for any of the items that is on the consent agenda or any of the items that were requested to be removed from the final agenda, you may leave or stay at your leisure. We'll go into old business. There's none listed, which brings us to our regular agenda. And the first item on the regular agenda is 115 West Bolton Street, special use request to establish an educational building used by a college, university, or seminary within the TN1 zoning district. And that petition number is 23-003-820-ZA. Ms. Lito.
Good afternoon, Melissa Lito. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and board members. The petitioner is requesting approval of a special use pursuant to Section 3.10 of the Savannah Zoning Ordinance to establish an educational building used by a college, university, or seminary. Subject property is zoned TN1, Traditional Neighborhood 1, where an educational building used by a college, university, or seminary is a special use in the TN1 zoning district. The building is a two-story, historic, eclectic church building that was constructed in 1911 and is a contributing building within the Savannah Victorian National Register Historic District and the local planned neighborhood conservation district. The church was known as the Greater Friendship Baptist Church. In approximately 2015, the church was purchased and the exterior was renovated. The property is 5,662 square feet in size or 0.13 acres. Regarding the flume map, the comprehensive plan feature land use map designates the subject property as traditional neighborhood. The TN1 zoning district is consistent with that flume classification. The petitioner is proposing to establish an educational building used by a college, university, or seminary. Specifically, Ralston College is a small university based in Savannah, Georgia that provides a Master of Arts in Humanities. The college operates several buildings in downtown Savannah. In the spring of 2023, 18 students graduated. Seminars, lectures, and a library with offices would be in this subject building. The college itself has operational hours from Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. The subject property does not currently have any specific hours of operation, but will most likely stay open within the university's hours of operation as offices, classrooms, lecture hall, and a library for the registered students. The proposed educational building for Ralston College sits on property that has no off-street parking available. The applicant received a zoning confirmation letter in response to the minimum parking requirements, and based on the zoning confirmation letter, the total floor area of the building is 6,624 square feet. The proposed use is educational building used by a college, university, or seminary. This use requires one vehicle parking space per 250 square feet of classroom and office area. The building is situated in the Victorian and streetcar parking district, and as such, the first 3,000 square feet of non-residential use does not require parking. The remaining 830 square feet of office and classroom floor area requires four spaces. College uses are allowed a 25% parking reduction in the Victorian and streetcar parking district. So based on the zoning confirmation letter, there is no minimum parking requirement. Let me show you our recommendation. Based upon the availability with compatibility with the comprehensive plan and the ability to meet the criteria for a special use permit, staff recommends approval of the request to establish an educational building used by a college, university, or seminary. I am here as well as the petitioner to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Leto. Any questions for staff? Okay. Hearing none, petitioner, if you would like. Feel free. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Dolly Chisholm. I'm representing the petitioner, the current owner, which is Christian Sotil, who is here with me, also representing Ralston College, the purchaser of the property. And the staff made such a good presentation. I really don't have anything other to add, but I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
All right. Mr. Melder.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. In many special use permit requests, a condition is put on for operating hours to ensure the neighboring communities can know what to expect. In the readout from staff, it said it would mirror normal operating hours for the college itself. Can you describe those operating hours?
Well, that's a good question. I really am not prepared to describe those. I do not see this as any extended hours or anything that would be different from what was previously there as a church having nighttime events, if they had nighttime events or operations in the day. As a library, I would see it would be under the same hours as the college, just so that the board knows or the MPC knows the number of students. Last year, there were 18 that graduated. That's about the number of students that are currently enrolled for this coming year. They're not there for a full year. They're, you know, have the summer off and some study abroad. So it's not a huge number of students. Also students who are studying the classics. They're getting a Master's of Arts in Humanities. So they're serious students. And most of them live downtown and walk to most of their classes. So when you say college, sometimes you think of late night people and having a lot of fun and doing, these are serious students, and it's a very small number of them, not for the full time, not for a full year at a time. And I believe they would have the regular college hours. I don't know if, Christian, if you happen to know what those might be.
But you do imagine there being nighttime events occasionally.
Well, I imagine that they would have some nighttime, you know, the library would be open for studies, and I do think that they might have some lectures at night.
Okay. Would the petitioner be amenable to putting operating hours into the special use permit before it comes to City Council?
Certainly.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Kegler.
Mr. Chairman, I think in our pre-meeting, the briefing we got, there was a discussion about 9 to 5 as being the hours is what I heard. So just some clarity on that.
Yes, based on the Ralston's College website, their operation hours are from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Yeah, right. As we, it's worth stating that there will be some lectures that would be probably, you know, anticipate them to be a 6 o'clock sort of hour.
Okay. Anything else for the petitioner? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Chisholm.
Yeah.
We'll now hear from members of the public. Ma'am, did you fill out a speaker card?
No.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I apologize for the delay.
And that's Hollis?
Yes.
Last name, so do me a favor and state your name for the record, and then I'll give you 3 minutes.
All right, I'm Elizabeth Hollis. I've lived on Whitaker Street, 811 Whitaker Street, for over 40 years. The back of our home faces Bolton Street, and we've always had a compatible relationship with the goings-on at the church, and we are thrilled with the idea that we're going to have students over there. It's not going to be a kind of thing that's going to disrupt the neighborhood. So I just wanted you all to know that most of us in the neighborhood, I haven't spoken to anyone that's like, because we like it. It's going to be calm. We believe in higher education. We're glad to have these students come, and we don't expect any problems whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hollis. Ms. Jarrett, you want?
Ms. Hollis, would you like to see hours limiting the opening?
Frankly, as a person who's been in college on and off for about 1,000 years, we all know that people need to work in their in libraries after classes are over. If they have a paper to write, they need to get in there. They're finding the resources they need. I don't see any problem with have it open in the evenings if it's just for library purposes, or if there's an occasional lecture that the public might be invited to, or a lecture just for the students. I don't think it would be disruptive.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment? No, if just come forward.
Just like to thank the neighbor for coming forward and making that comment.
Thank you. All right. So that concludes public comment. So we'll go into entertaining a motion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Is there a second?
No, a second.
Motion on the floor made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Mr. Noah to approve staff's recommendation. If there's no discussion on that motion, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Amick? You got discussion?
Yes, I'd like to add a point of discussion on whether the comment by the city manager should be considered in the motion or not, whether he's fine with it as presented.
If the petitioner is willing to address that before it gets to city council, which I'm sure city staff will make sure happens, I'm fine with it. But
all right, so if we want to do that, we will need to amend Mr. Coles' motion.
You're saying
you're okay with the way it is? Okay, I apologize. All right, if that is indeed the case, and there's no further discussion on the motion, we'll entertain the vote. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Dotrika?
Yes.
A 2-vote yes, motion carries, and the project is approved. So we'll now call the next petition, and that is 319 Bull Street, special use request to establish accessory alcohol sales within a restaurant. Petition number 23-003790-ZA. Ms. Leto.
Thank you. This is a special use request to establish accessory alcohol sales within a restaurant at 3129 Bull Street. The subject property is zoned aerial map where the location is, and then the zoning district. Okay. The subject property is zoned TC1, traditional commercial. The subject site is a concrete one-story commercial building with three units included in the building facing Bull Street. The comprehensive plan future land use map designates the subject property as TC1, traditional commercial, which is compatible with the TC1 zoning district, and which allows for business areas near downtown Savannah or outlying historically settled areas. The applicant is recommending operational hours of their restaurant as Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. The restaurant use, the restaurant cafe will have approximately 40 seats. However, fire inspector has not yet come to visit the site for maximum occupancy, so that may change. This is the subject property. It's three units in total, and the last unit here is the proposed subject unit for the restaurant. There are eight existing parking spaces at the rear of the building that are shared within those three units. However, per the city, the unit was previously used as a church based on the maximum occupancy from the building code. The new restaurant has all its parking requirements met through credit for the non-conforming parking area. Also, their refuse or dumpster will be located in the rear of the property as well. Our recommendation. Is based on the compatibility with the comprehensive plan and the ability to meet the criteria for a special use permit. Staff recommends approval of the request with two conditions. The special use permit shall be non-transferable. Operational hours Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. And I am here as well as the petitioner to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Leto.
Yeah.
Any questions for the staff? Okay. Would the petitioner like to come forward? Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Russ Dakin. I am the owner and petitioner for the cafe that we're launching. We, both my wife and I are longtime residents of Savannah. We are business owners who have been invested in the Savannah area, specifically in the Starland Thomas Square neighborhood. We're also residents of Ardsley Park. We live not far from where we intend to open the cafe. We have seen the growth of the Thomas Square street car neighborhood over the past 10 years, and we're thrilled with the increase of arts and culture and restaurants and entertainment for the residents. We're also seeing that there is development happening south of the Victory Drive down the Bull Street corridor. And as residents of Ardsley Park, we're very much invested in making sure that development does have the neighborhood and the residents of the neighborhood's interest in mind. So being residents ourselves, we're thrilled to be able to offer a location where Ardsley Park residents can have a third place, you know, the home, the office, and then that third place where we can build community and encourage the community to come together. So thank you, Mrs. Leto, for the work, and thank you, board, for considering.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner? Okay, thanks. We'll now entertain public comment. And
I have one question. Noah. The hours that were listed, was that petitioner-driven or staff-driven?
Petitioner-driven, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Just a follow-up on that question. I did see the hours were fairly limited, and just making sure that you're aware if the special use permit is passed with those limited hours at city council, then you will be beholden to those limited hours until you come and change the special use permit. So if it's fine, if it's a deal you've made with the neighborhood and the neighbors, and that's what you want to codify in the zoning, But otherwise, you know, I had the same thought, didn't want you necessarily to constrain your business hours to closing at 7 p.m. if that wasn't your long-term business plan goal.
Exactly.
Understood, and I thank you for bringing that up. Would that be something that before the city council meeting, if we decided that we wanted to extend them, would we have to amend them then, or is that in the...
We could do it right here.
Yeah,
if you thought... Does staff have a recommendation on operating hours?
No, we were happy with what was being proposed by the petitioner.
Mm-hmm.
The only consideration would be that if there were any kind of evening events that we would have on a Friday or Saturday night, being that it is in the neighborhood, we were conscientious about not wanting to be a location that would be open late. And per that, we decided to start at 7 to 7. So with that consideration, would a 9 p.m. Allowance, I guess, would be considered.
I think the city manager's point is, in the event that you do want to do those types of things, and it is already your intent to not operate outside of extended hours to where you would become a nuisance.
Right.
I think his whole point is, don't put this restriction on yourself, because once we vote yes on it, these are the hours. And if you allow for yourself to have that runway of extended hours with us not codifying this particular stipulation, you have that option to work, to allow for your business to operate until 9, if you wanted to operate until 9 and still be conscientious of being a good neighbor. So I think that's really, I don't think anybody right now is taking major exception to you extending to 9 or whatever the situation may be. We just want you to be fully aware of the ramifications of this decision if we keep it the way it is.
Okay, thank you. I understand. If that is something that we wanted to include today, what is the process?
Okay. If you were, Mr. Chairman, if you were, then the commissioners could simply, as they make the motion, they would just make the motion to perhaps change the condition to operating hours Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Friday and Saturday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Or if you want to do 9 p.m. for all days, that's fine. Our concern is just not constricting you.
Sure, I understand. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So if you have a preference that doesn't end any later than 10 p.m., then I think we'd be open for it.
Yes, I think as you just stated it, that would sound good to us. Thank you.
All right. So we appreciate it. I mean, if you don't have anything else, does anybody have anything else for the petitioner? Okay, so we'll continue the process, and you'll have an opportunity to come back up if need be.
Great. Thank you very much.
So we'll now go to public comment. And I have a speaker card for this one, and it is a Roger Smith.
That's all right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. All right. In that instance, there is no need for a rebuttal. So we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, move that the commission approve the special use permit under the following conditions: that one, the special use permit shall be non-transferable. Two, the operating hours shall be Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Friday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And three, restricted to the sale of beer and wine only.
No, a second.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? All right. If there's no discussion, we'll entertain a vote.
That third condition, do we need to? Is that the petitioner's intent? Is that something that we're?
I don't.
It is not our intent to have liquor sales. We're just applying
just
for
beer
and wine.
Just beer and wine. Thank you.
All right. So now we got that clarified. Is there any discussion, further discussion on the motion? All right. Well, we'll entertain a vote. Ms. Amick.
Yes.
Ms. Bowles.
Yes.
Mr. Coleman.
Yes.
Mr. Coles.
Yes.
Ms. Epstein.
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett.
Yes.
Mr. Kegler.
Yes.
Mr. Melder.
Yes.
Mr. Noah.
Yes.
Mr. Notrika.
Yes.
I too vote yes. The motion carries and the project is approved with conditions. Okay, we'll move to the next item on the agenda, and that is comprehensive plan future land use map amendment at the address 20 West 60th Street, petition number 23-003-919-ZA-FLUME. Mr. Morrow.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Commission. I'm going to talk to you briefly about a request to amend the future land use map at 20 West 60th Street. I'm sorry, as soon as I get what I want here. There we go. All right, so the present request is kind of a two-part request. The first is for the Planning Commission to determine the appropriateness of request to amend the future land use map for the area surrounding 20 West 60th Street. If I were smart, I would have had the future land use map because I think it's relevant for our discussion. Actually, and for the public, I apologize. Staff report, site plan, that's not there. That is my omission. Okay, so nonetheless, the request is to amend the future land use map. The subject parcel is currently designated suburban single-family residential. And the request is to change the map so that it reflects a traditional commercial use. And so the current character area is envisioned as a place where single-family residences are going to be developed in the detached format, when actually the present zoning of the parcel is for residential two-family, if I could throw in. So at the moment, currently, with the zoning, you could build single-family homes or duplexes either attached side-by-side or over-under, whereas the future land use, again, saying what would happen in the future if someone were to come to you and request a rezoning of this property, it would actually downzone it to a single-family detached home. That is the present situation of the future land use map. And so at present, the petitioner is asking to change that so that it can reflect traditional commercial. Traditional commercial is a future land use designation that is consistent with kind of a more historic pattern of development within the city of Savannah that allows kind of neighborhoods serving commercial uses to live in proximity of residential uses of varying densities. So imagine a place where single family homes all the way up through multifamily dwellings can live peacefully with kind of street frontage commercial uses or upstairs residential where you have commercial downstairs. That's kind of the vision of this district. And so that is what the petitioner is asking this commission to do today. NUZO presently requires that the future land use designation correspond with the requested zoning. So at present, this particular change is the minimum that would be required for the subsequent development to take place on this particular parcel. It is likely also the best use, just given a number of alternatives that were discussed with the petitioner. The fact that the subject parcels are currently situated as a single-family suburban residential future land use is likely because they are adjoining neighborhoods where there is a very consistent parcel fabric. As you go from one parcel to the next, when you're looking at the Ardmore Gould Estates, Abercorn Heights, Sylvan Terrace, and a few more of the other more established neighborhoods in town, you see this very regular parcel fabric as you go from one parcel to the next. Houses tend to be situated in the exact same place. They have similar setbacks. They have similar auxiliary or ancillary uses. And so it's a very regular pattern of development. And so at the present, the site of the present request, you actually see a bit more irregularity. You see not only a mixture of residential types, multifamily situated right next to single family, but you also see a variety of ages and even uses. The present parcel is actually a very good example of this because it currently contains evidence that it's been used in close association with an existing non-conforming automobile salvage and repair business. The yard, every time we've seen it, has contained non-functioning vehicles. It's gated, even though it does also contain a single-family residence. So the residence is there, but the parcel shows evidence of being used in a non-conforming manner. So in essence, the request would be not to allow something of this nature, but to actually bring it to consistency with a proposed development that we'll look at more closely in the next petition, should this one be approved. The current zoning district, again, permits a development of only one and two family homes by right, but the future land use map designation that's requested would kind of bring this particular area of town into consistency with a more contemporary need for housing. So this particular area, more broadly, evidences this same pattern that I described earlier, where the idea is that it would be developed with single-family detached homes, and at a time when Savannah is pressing forward with this effort to create more densified housing, this particular commission is charged with looking at areas where we can sort of bring our policy documents and our ordinances into the future by creating those opportunities. And so this is one of those instances where in the future, this commission could consider evaluating this particular area for something like a more like a traditional commercial or a traditional neighborhood or a traditional residential even designation, so that it would permit a mixture of housing uses and also those commercial uses that are appropriate to be located near residential uses. So it's asking to sort of change the flexibility of what it is that can be done from a regulatory standpoint within this area, so that developers can more easily go in and create a product that's contextual and sensitive to what's existing. So it's not necessarily the standard, you know, development that you see where we're talking putting a whole bunch of houses in one place. If there is a parcel in an area like this that is, you know, an acre or a quarter of an acre even, it's a zoning, a future land use designation and a set of associated zonings, actually, that would permit a developer to develop a contextually sensitive number of dwelling units that would fit within that context, if that makes sense. And so NUZO doesn't actually offer specific criteria for the evaluation of this change. And so we're going to look at four that are appropriate in sort of evaluating the merits of the request. The first one is the relationship of the proposed amendment to the existing and future land uses depicted. And so the proposed amendment actually represents the extension of a FLUM designation that is already present on the parcels that are adjoining this one to the east and that are associated with the proposed development. It is not detached from parcels that are already carrying this designation. Again, the proposed development is largely focused on those that are associated with Bull Street. And so this parcel is requested to be brought into the development, but it is not the central focus and it would not actually even contain commercial use. We have a site plan that we're hoping to link to the proposal so that, you know, there's some assurance on the part of the community that what would actually be interior is parking, actually, and not a residence at all. And even the portion that is developed with residential is closer to Bull Street. So there is a relationship there. The second criteria, the relationship of the proposed amendment to any applicable goals, objectives, or policies and criteria and standards adopted in the comprehensive plan. So turning back to Plan 2040, within the land use and housing section, there are goals that are applicable to this particular development. The first one under the land use element is to establish growth policies for the city of Savannah that seek to guide development and redevelopment in a reasonable manner, encouraging compact development, walkable neighborhoods, increased connectivity, and open space preservation. And goal number four is to continue to create innovative ways to connect people with places, specifically element L4.2, to pursue opportunities for creative placemaking, including the use of vacant storefronts for temporary installations. And you'll see why I included that in just a moment. Also under housing, there is a goal of increasing the affordable housing stock, specifically by adopting policies and ordinances that allow for a wider variety of housing types. So again, going back to this flexibility that could be created under the traditional commercial, traditional neighborhood, and traditional residential zoning districts and future land use classifications. This is a portion of the concept that was submitted in association with the plan, and it shows a courtyard that would be used by guests who would be visiting the ground floor retail along Bull Street. And so I felt it important to include this because, again, we'd like to encourage development that connects with the public, right? And so this is a public benefit that would be conveyed through the allowance of this particular development. There are also other green spaces that are not for the public, but this one is one that is geared toward the public. Another area, item number three, other professional planning principles, standards, or information, and more detailed plans and studies considered relevant. The Housing Savannah Action Plan, which was adopted in 2021, identified regulatory barriers as one challenge that stood in the way of affordable housing provision. And specifically, action item 5A4 highlights the significance of zoning and associated land use tools for their role in basically not supporting a housing-friendly environment. And so this is one instance where this commission has the opportunity to use an existing tool in which you can permit some creative use of a parcel where thoughtful densification is actually appropriate. The 2023-2027 through 2027 Housing and Community Development Plan from HCD identified blight reduction and neighborhood beautification among its top five community needs. And it also established a five-year objective of improving, developing, and or retaining 500 dwellings for low to moderate income renters. Again, that is not to suggest that these particular units are lower moderate income, but as we add more housing units to the stock overall, everything that is older and existing becomes relatively more affordable. And so the fourth item, written comments, evidence, and testimony from the public. MPC staff did not receive or was not made aware of any particular public comment prior to the publication of this report. We did actually receive one letter of support prior to publication, and then over the weekend we got a letter from the receiving neighborhood association that was in opposition. That will be made available when the final agenda is released to the public. And so MPC staff ultimately recommends approval of the request to amend the future land use map to permit the requested development. That concludes staff review. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff?
Mr. Morrow, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Did we look at any traffic impact or traffic studies needed for this rezoning request?
This particular site plan that you can see on the screen now came before the city's site plan review committee on August 3rd, and it was reviewed by the city's reviewing departments, in essence, stormwater, utilities, traffic, all of those departments, and there were no major comments that were noted. On the subject parcel to be rezoned that you can see kind of in gray here, there is only one traffic impact, and that's the creation of this new curb cut, which would permit access to 17 proposed parking spaces. There was no comment negatively from traffic at the time.
How many parking spaces would the parcels require?
So one parking space per dwelling unit is required for the development. There's also a proposed 2,600 square feet of commercial retail type space at a ratio of 1 to 250. Based on the site plan that was submitted, the development in total for the whole 1.6 acres is it actually exceeds the ordinance requirements for those parking spaces.
How many spots will it produce?
Let me find out for you. Actually, I don't happen to have that number here, but there are 63 units. It's in excess of the 63 plus 2,634 divided by 250, those two numbers added together.
So, okay.
Just had my phone.
Thank you.
Sure. Mr. Coles,
what was the substance of the letter of opposition?
It was with direct regard to increased traffic that's anticipated from the proposed development.
Ms. Jarrett?
I was gonna ask about sidewalks in particular. Also wanna know about the citizen input, but I think I'll ask that of the applicant.
So sidewalks would be developed as a part of the proposed development. They would also be developed in association with the actual developments on this parcel.
All right. Any crosswalks in the works?
Crosswalks would also be accounted for on the northern side, but again, outside of the scope of this particular request. That would be more relevant in the next request.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ms. Amick.
I think in pre-meeting, you had mentioned across the street, this project went across 59th.
That's correct.
Is that building in existence now?
No, ma'am. None of these buildings are in existence.
Okay. So it's going to be essentially how many total buildings?
There would be 5 buildings total for the 1.6-acre development.
And each apartment has 4 bedrooms?
No, ma'am. There's a mixture of studios, 1 bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, 3 bedrooms, and 4 bedrooms.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not all 4 bedrooms?
No, ma'am.
Anything else for staff? All right. Thank you. We'll now hear from the petitioner.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Patrick Shea. I'm senior principal with GM Shea Architects, and I'm joined today by my associate, Meredith Stone, who was also a member of the Housing Task Force that was mentioned in the staff write-up. It was a very good staff report and presentation, and I very much appreciate the interaction we've had with your staff to make sure that our plans were as comfortable as possible. I have a few quick remarks. The current property that we're talking about, not just for the one little parcel that we're asking to rezone today, but the project that you'll see in just a minute, I hope, all of it is now commercial. It is all the Dace Towing Company. It's basically a graveyard for automobiles. You get towed there. If you can't afford to get your car out of hock, then your automobiles end up getting cannibalized there. It's an environmental hazard. There are a lot of challenges with doing what they do for a long period of time. Our client has done extensive due diligence and will be eliminating all of the environmental hazards that are associated with it now. What's ultimately proposed for the entire development is predominantly residential with just a little bit of commercial. So it's essentially all commercial now. It would become predominantly residential with a little bit of commercial. The parcel that's in question for this particular issue today would be all residential. We've done a lot of work on researching mobility alternatives. Again, the opportunity to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. So that you understand what's on the screen, I believe up there, there are 5 buildings. 4/5 of those are already allowed by right in the TC1 district. So most of what we're proposing is already permitted by right, and we're just asking for a little bit of relief on the last parcel, even though it is currently being used for commercial purposes. And we do intend to make all of the mobility improvements, including sidewalks, bicycle-friendly, transit connections, crosswalks, etc. We have met with the neighbors and discussed it with them, some favorable, some unfavorable, but they have both the adjoining neighborhood associations written. And interestingly enough, the one that was for and the one that was against both raised the same issue, which is traffic on the Bull Street corridor, because there are a number of other developments, I understand from reading their letters, that are much larger that are in the vicinity on Bull Street. Ours is, as I said, 4/5 of it by right, and we'll have, by comparison, a relatively mild traffic impact. Here for questions.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Melder?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Shea, can you describe what you know about the traffic impact related to your proposed development? Or the net traffic impact when some of the businesses that are existing there now won't be existing? Have y'all done any of that research or study?
We have not done a scientific study. We have not. I can tell you anecdotally, but you understand the existing commercial business is a junkyard for hundreds of automobiles.
Yes.
And what we're proposing is going to have adequate parking for the residential development that's there, and it's a very limited amount of commercial. And we are fully parked by the TC1 zoning ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else for the petitioner? Ms. Jarrett.
You could go ahead with the four buildings if we didn't approve this today, couldn't you?
By right, yes, it could. Unfortunately, it's what my developer friends call a thin deal. Being able to do five buildings is what it takes to really make this a much more viable development.
Anything else? All right. Thank y'all. We'll now entertain public comment. And I have one speaker card for this one, and it looks like a Chad Cox.
I don't have any.
Please state your name for the record.
I'm Chad Cox, and I don't have any for, I guess, this section, but it's more for the question
rezoning?
For the 13th.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. You can just hang on until item number 13, the next one comes through. Okay. Thank you. Anything? Oh, and apparently there's no response to that, so we'll entertain a motion. And this is, just be reminded, this is strictly for the future land use map amendment.
Motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Coleman.
So a motion on the floor made by Mr. Melder and seconded by Mr. Coleman. There's no discussion. Oh, well, to approve staff's recommendation is the motion. If there's no discussion on that motion, we'll go into a vote. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
I two vote yes. Motion carries, and the petition is approved. Now we move to the next item on the agenda. It's a related item. That's the zoning map amendment for 20 West 60th Street. And the petition number is 23-003-824-ZA. Mr. Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. All right. So the associated petition, the request to rezone the subject parcel. So again, the current zoning of the subject parcel is residential two-family, and the request is to rezone the subject parcel to TC1 or traditional commercial 1 to develop the subject parcel and several adjoining as a multifamily housing development with ground floor retail use along Bull Street. Again, the subject parcel consists of 0.18 acres of a total 1.6 acre overall development. The subject parcel currently serves as a automotive salvage and repair business that you can see here on your screen. The yard contains several non-functioning automobiles. So this one parcel here on the proposed site plan is this one corner parcel down here. In the previous petition, the petitioner indicated these are the parcels that could be developed currently by right now. These four buildings, and so the one portion is what's in question here, and also this parking. So again, this is necessary for the purpose of developing this parking in this residential use. All right. So this residential two-family zone permits the development of single-family and duplex homes, either in the attached side-by-side or over-under configuration. And though it's not zoned for the use, it currently contains this automobile salvage repair business that staff is under the impression this is a non-conforming pre-existing use in essence. And so it's not functioning in the capacity of a single family home right now. To the north, there's residential two-family zoning also to the south and to the west. And there are dwellings of differing densities surrounding on all sides. To the east, however, there is the TC1 zoned automobile salvage business that this parcel is used in connection with. Prior to the rezoning, public notice was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the subject parcel, and signs were posted and required newspaper advertisements were run at least 15 days prior to this meeting. Neighborhood meetings were subsequently held. Again, at the time of the publication of staff's report, we were unaware but we did receive some comment, some positive, some negative. Regarding impact and suitability, public services and facilities, city water and sewer, as well as stormwater systems are proposed to serve the development. The proposed site plan that you saw just a moment ago, actually I'll bring that back up, was seen by city's reviewing departments on August 3rd, and there were no significant negative or adverse remarks that were heard at that time. Again, this does not necessarily mean that all things are meeting current requirements. This is just to say that there were no major red flags at this initial review, and that does not constitute any sort of an approval to say that the proposed site plan that was seen at that time is the final site plan, as you'll see it during the site-specific development review. With regard to transportation and transit, the subject parcel is proposed to have a curb cut on the West 60th Street, which will allow ingress egress to 17 off-street parking spaces for residents, and also likely for the proposed commercial development. In this site plan, 2,634 square feet is proposed to be used for commercial use. That total number, Mr. Melder, is 74 spaces. That is the requirement for this particular development. When you add the 63 dwelling units to the 2,634 square feet of retail space, and that's a required ratio of one parking space to every 250 square feet of commercial space. So when you add those two together, you get 73 and some change, which equates to 74 off-street spaces required. The site plan indicated an ability to meet 74 off-street spaces. The site is accessible by Chatham Area Transit in either direction at about 1,250 feet, which equates to about a 5 to 10 minute walk. Those are routes 4 and 14, so it is transit accessible. The comprehensive land use plan, you guys just heard the previous petition, which was to bring the present site into conformance with the future land use map, and so that petition has just been heard. The existing zoning district, the RTF, again, is intended to allow the development of single-family and two-family residences, again, in either the side-by-side or the over-under configuration. It also allows a few other non-residential uses that can fit harmoniously in residential areas. The proposed zoning district, the traditional commercial, is intended to be used in conjunction with nearby adjacent TN or TR districts. TN stands for traditional neighborhood, TR stands for traditional residential. And again, these are those more classic Savannah neighborhood patterns, or more generally neighborhood patterns that bring walkability, they bring mixing of uses and things of that nature. And so the idea is to maintain the vibrancy of our historic districts and to sort of bring in close proximity those commercial uses that can be harmoniously situated with residences. And this is close enough to Savannah's downtown district that this is still an appropriate pattern of development for this area. With regard to zoning ordinance review, NUZO does offer several criteria for evaluating any particular zoning request. The first one, suitability and community need, whether the range of uses permitted by the proposed zoning district is more suitable than the range of uses that are permitted by the current zoning district. Again, this is an existing non-conforming use, and staff is presently under the impression that this use is currently functioning. There are still trucks that seem to park outside this particular lot and those associated in order to haul off vehicles. So as an existing non-conforming use, the proposed use is actually more consistent with a residential character of development. The second, whether the proposed zoning district addresses a specific need in the county or city, the proposed development does address two specific needs, one site-specific and the other general. The subject parcels had been the site of a significant automotive repair business and all of the associated environmental concerns that come along with that. And so the proposed development would create an opportunity for environmental remediation on this parcel, and that would be a major public benefit. More generally, Savannah is experiencing a housing shortage, and so the proposed development is contextually sensitive to the receiving neighborhood, and it would add density and mixing of uses in a manner that's going to enhance the quality of life for all of the residents. The third factor, whether the zoning proposal will adversely affect the existing use or usability of adjacent nearby property. Again, this should enhance the quality of life for existing residents. The next criteria, whether the zoning proposal is compatible with the present zoning pattern and conforming uses of nearby property. The proposed use is more consistent than the present use, and the surrounding parcel fabric being somewhat irregular, the likelihood of it becoming single-family or duplex residences, especially those parcels adjoining Bull Street, is unlikely. And so, again, this request is to bring this particular parcel, which has been used in a commercial fashion for several years, into cohesion with those that are fronting on Bull to create one overall multifamily use, which is consistent with the adjoining neighborhood. The next criteria, whether there are other existing or changing conditions affecting the use and development of the property, which gives supporting grounds for either approval or dismissal. The region's need for centrally located housing is a compelling condition that constitutes grounds for approval of the zoning proposal. While the proposed units are likely not genuine affordable housing, they are what I'd like to term attainable housing. The proposed development is slated to include 4-bedroom units. And so this particular unit type could be potentially rented by unrelated individuals, bringing the individual rent burden lower than 1, 2, or 3-bedroom units. And so that's kind of a unique feature of the proposed development. And again, for the sake of that assurance, staff is going to recommend approval in conjunction with the proposed plan, which includes those units. So finally, for consistency, whether the zoning proposal is in conformity with the policy and intent of the comprehensive plan and other adopted plans, turning again to Comp Plan 2040, this is consistent with land use goals of establishing growth policies for the city that seek to guide development and redevelopment in a responsible manner and encouraging compact development, walkable neighborhoods, increased connectivity, and open space, and also creating innovative ways to connect people with place, and also under housing, the goal of increasing affordable housing stock, adopting policies and ordinances that allow for a wider variety of housing types. Under reasonable use, whether the property to be affected by the zoning proposal has reasonable use as currently zoned, the subject parcel, were it to be used in conformance with the present zoning district, it is a reasonable use at this particular location to site a single-family or two-family home. But again, the idea is not for it to be developed individually, but in concert with all of these other parcels to the east and north. Whether adequate school, public safety, and emergency facilities, road, ingress, egress, parks, wastewater treatment, water supply, and stormwater drainage facilities are available. Again, adequate city services are available, and no significant adverse remarks were heard at the pre-development review meeting on August 3rd, 2023. Finally, the subject parcel is not within proximity of an ACOOS or APZ, nor is it in proximity of the airport. Just to kind of sum this up, the subject parcel contains only 11.3% of the proposed total 1.6-acre area. The remaining 1.42 acres currently have the zoning designation required for the proposed mixed-use development and commercial development. So for the parcel to be rezoned is proposed to only Sorry, further, the parcel to be rezoned is proposed to only contain 15% building coverage. The vast majority of the subject parcel would consist of parking, and again, that 15% building coverage. As proposed, the development will contain retail, provision of adequate off-street parking, and while that off-street parking did require some design accommodations that are less than ideal, again, just to make sure that significant off-street parking and disruption of kind of traffic flows were not an issue. Those compromises were made, and off-street parking is fully accounted for. In addition to that, there is on-street parking proposed along Bull Street, as well as bike racks in order to accommodate those that are non-motorized. Staff does recommend approval of the request to rezone from RTF to TC1 with the condition that the development be contingent upon MPC staff approval of a general development plan that is largely consistent with the conceptual site plan considered along with this petition, and that GDP meet all the requirements of Savannah's zoning ordinance section 3.8.4. That concludes staff review.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Mr. Melder.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Do you have the breakdown of bedrooms per unit for the whole development? How many studios, how many one, how many two, how many three, how many four?
I believe we do. I'm going to go back. Just want to make sure that I uploaded that along with this item. Design concept, here we go. Okay, so it's a little difficult to see in the full scale here. I'll zoom in just a second, but you can sort of see that the units are distributed across all the buildings. Five buildings proposed, and they each have something like 12 to 13 units per building. So I'm going to zoom into the table here. So each of those colors corresponds. Oh, I'm sorry, that actually is not the correct one. I'm going to go back up to the next page. Oh, there you go. Okay. The unit count of each one.
So just to read it into the record, 6 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 6 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 10 2-bedroom, 2-bath, 12 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 19 1-bedroom, 1-bath, and 10 studios.
That is correct.
Okay. And I appreciate the staff report on this, though I did want just to clarify, this is not in a historic district, correct?
It is not, no.
Okay. Thank you. I do want to thank staff and the petitioner for making sure that both the future land use map and the rezoning came together and not the other way around. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And my last comment, Mr. Chairman, is simply to the petitioner. I think that the scrutiny on this petition, certainly as it moves through the process, will be traffic impact. So making sure that education, information on traffic impact, whatever's known, can be shared with the surrounding communities as well as council when and if it proceeds there.
Ms. Jarrett.
Just the tie between the development plan and the zoning will restrict development to accommodate the parking. We won't overdevelop and underpark, will we?
No, ma'am. So during the site-specific development plan process, we literally count the number of spaces that come in based on the square footages of varying uses. So even if the proposed commercial is not retail, say it comes in as something that has a higher off-street parking requirement, we would count the number of spaces that the ordinance requires for that use.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else for staff? All right.
Oh, I have one thing.
Ms. Epstein.
We often speak or just throw out actually the phrase affordable housing. Just to clarify, there's no mandate, no any kind of vehicle to make this developer price their units at anything other than market rate.
No, ma'am.
It's just we're increasing the quantity.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you, Mr. Morrow.
Thank you.
Now from the petitioner.
Good afternoon again, Mr. Chairman. I'm still Patrick Shea with GM Shea Architects, and she is still Meredith Stone, my most able associate. Briefly, I want to address the fact that our attempt to do the development is to also try and work with the city of Savannah to be able to persuade them to allow us to have additional sidewalks. Right now, the area is, there are some things that kind of look like sidewalks, but there aren't curbs, and there are, because the use is there now is all automotive, it's just all aprons, you know, and not only do we want to have sidewalks with curbs, but we also want to try where we can to introduce tree lawns to be able to have some shade trees. We do want to work again with the city. It's their right of way to stripe on-street parking. Right now there's sort of informal on-street parking, but we have not counted that toward our parking count. So I think we're going to be able to create something like maybe 8 or 9 on-street parking spaces that will be formalized. This is within walking distance of Route 14. And if you're a transit user, you know that Route 14 is, that's the one. Okay. So we're very pleased about that. We also want to make sure that it's not only like bicycle friendly, like with a really, you know, artistic looking bike rack parked out front, but each building is going to have a space within it on the interior so that people that are residents can choose to have an indoor locked storage for their bicycles. Rather than having them out on the street, we think that's going to be a very attractive feature. Because TC1 zoning was actually created for the area that I live in now, Starland area, this only allows relatively small footprint buildings. So although it's not in a historic district, there are some things about the pattern that will make them much more compatible with other smaller residential structures. So we're limited to no more than 3 stories and no more than 5,500 square feet of footprint per building. We're going to have to meet the green space requirement, but we're also working very hard to make sure that our green space is functional green space. It's not just borders that are mowed and forgotten about, but to actually create places that are going to be attractive for both the residents and in one area, near the commercial space, something that would also be very attractive for the neighbors and for the neighborhood. The commercial that's proposed, we don't have particular tenants in mind, but the idea is for those to be neighborhood commercial establishments and things that would amenitize the apartment livers, the people that were there. So I don't know if we can find somebody that wants to open a coffee shop or a neighborhood convenience store or something like that. That'd be swell. We'd particularly love to have a daycare. We'll see. We're going to try. So the unit mix, the mix that's up on the screen is our target. Meredith and her team are in the process right now of designing the individual apartments. So it may vary a little bit, but the concept is there. Interestingly enough, the fifth building, the one that's sort of in question for today, is the one that we had targeted in our minds for the 4-bedroom units. So that those would be more attractive to students that might want to be able to live there. The other building that's not up for grabs today, Building A on the map that's up here, we want to have that with some amenities for families. It's very close to Nathaniel Green Park. I didn't mention that. Nathaniel Green Park is actually right across Bull Street from this area, a very, very attractive feature. In regards to rents, I have no idea what the rents are going to be, but the idea is to bring them to market to be able to compete with some of the downtown apartment buildings that are, you know, I think by my standards, frightfully expensive, be able to sort of have downtown living, but have it in Midtown. So we think it'll be an attractive thing for the renters, but it doesn't have to be at those exorbitant prices.
Ms. Bowles.
Thank you. Given the existing environmental conditions, can you elaborate on the types of remediation that you might consider, especially since you're considering some open space as well?
So the nature of the business that's been there, I would guess probably 50 years, maybe longer, is that they sort of sometimes repair cars, sometimes cannibalize parts from other things and rebuild automobiles. A lot of petrochemicals and so forth involved with that, disposing of old batteries and so forth. It's all been extensively surveyed by an environmental firm and going to be remediated, so it'll be cleaned up so that none of those are remaining a threat in any way to the residents of this particular development or to the surrounding neighborhoods. in regards to the green space, how do I make this move? Do I just go, oh, look at that? I'm just scrolling. I'm just going. Yeah. So this is a diagram on the left there of the space between the two commercial buildings. It actually is down here in the lower right, so it's been rotated by 90 degrees. But that space would be someplace that we were very hopeful would be attractive to not just the residents, but also to the neighbors in the neighborhood. And when we presented this to the folks from the Ardsley Park Neighborhood Association, they were very, very excited. They thought it was a great idea. Did I answer your question?
Well, I was asking because sometimes environmental remediation includes capping the space, which sometimes they'll just cap the space with concrete. Now, I was just wondering what types of remediation you're looking at, because I know you were considering open space.
Yeah, Laureen, I'm sorry. I do not know exactly what the techniques will be, but I know that it has to be done in order to be able to develop residential. Thank you.
Anything else for the petitioner? I wanted to add a couple of things. You guys are doing a great job at trying to activate a space and tackling a whole lot in this one development. I had some small concerns. I think you guys addressed most of them. Initially, my concern was the parking and the traffic, but everybody has raised those. And from an ordinance standpoint, you guys are already overparked. I do still have a little bit of concern. Not particularly for you all, because I mean, once you guys added the on-street parking, I think that helped some satisfy, because I'm still of the opinion that there's likely to be some overspill. And with that happening, I know those streets pretty well. They're pretty narrow. So there were some concerns for the on-street parking and getting some control there, which prompted the next concern. And I hear that you all want to work with the city to address it. And that's the sidewalks, because with the streets being as narrow, if you put vehicles in a parking capacity, which right now most of those streets, people kind of park half on the street, half on the grass. Definitely going to need some way for pedestrians to move about, because I could easily see this prompting more foot traffic, which is never really a bad thing in a community that's trying to become vibrant again. The only other concern I had, nothing too major, but the parcel that we're talking about that you guys got the future land use map addressed and the rezoning you're asking for, are you guys combining those two lots at that backside?
Well, I think the master concept will be after it's rezoned to recombine everything so that it becomes one parcel. It's going to be a master development.
Okay, and that's essentially all I was trying to get a clarification on.
I failed to mention it. It's also a local developer. This is not somebody from some big city far away.
Good deal. Anything else for the petitioner? Ms. Amick?
So is there going to be a limitation on the number of occupants per unit? Namely, I'm thinking of the four-bedroom and knowing students that could end up with 8 or 10 people. Is there any way to control that? Because otherwise you're going to end up with more cars.
I don't know exactly how you control students. But I will tell you that the number of bedrooms usually is pretty good head count. Ms. Amick, I feel like we're overparked in general. I think by the time we get this built, there are going to be more people riding bicycles and moving around by alternative means than there are choosing automotive movement. I like to ride on a Vespa through this neighborhood. Columbus Avenue is one of the coolest streets in all of Christendom. You know, it's a very easy ride to be able to get downtown to where the jobs and especially a lot of the stuff with the hospitality and the schools are. But that's a anecdotal. We're gonna have enough parking to serve everybody. Now, some people will choose, as I do in my own house, to park on the street and not use my parking space that's in the back of the house. You can't control that either. But I don't think this is going to overwhelm the neighborhood at all.
this is coming from having a son who, and in the apartments, and the management company is pretty brutal about enforcing the number of students per unit and the number of cars per unit. And had I not shown property in historic Savannah where many SCAD students live, I would be naive and wouldn't know that they will stack their students, you know, not SCAD, but the students will stack their students and their friends and there'll be 10 kids in a 3-bedroom. And so that's, I'm just wondering, it's going to be a managed facility.
Yeah, very much so.
With rules and regulations.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. If nothing else, thank you.
Thank you.
We will now move into the public comment, and that's your opportunity again, Mr. Chad Cox. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, I'm Chad Cox again. My question mainly was, what type of retail space were you?
Mr. Cox, do me a favor and stay in the microphone.
Okay, sorry, I just didn't want to talk to him.
But no, it's, they got you. No worries.
What type of retail space was going to be brought into our community? And along with that was mainly what all of you have talked about with parking, because like you stated that 60th Street's about this wide. People park right on it. There's two cars coming. One's got to pull over just so the other one can get through. And it's going to be, sounds to me like you're increasing the volume, the density of people that are going to be in the area. And, you know, what type of retail stores have you guys thought about any of that? This was my curiosity. I didn't know anything about the community stuff that you guys developed. I wasn't part of that. So I didn't hear any of these answers.
Okay. And they'll get the opportunity to reply.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Is that all you had?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Shea.
Yeah, the developer hasn't spoken with any particular tenants, but again, you know, the idea is that the retail would be complementary to and amenitize the apartments. So it's not looking for something that's going to be a business that is oriented toward the region or toward the whole city. It's a neighborhood. You know, ideally, as I said before, we'd love to be able to attract a coffee shop. We'd love to be able to attract maybe even like a neighborhood convenience store, something like that, so that people from all over the neighborhood could use it, as well as the apartment residents. And I'm particularly passionate about trying to see if we can find a daycare. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Shea. We'll now entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve the staff's recommendation with the condition that development shall be contingent upon MPC staff approval of general development plan consistent with the conceptual site plan submitted with this petition and meeting the requirements of section 3.8.4 of the Savannah zoning ordinance.
Bowles, second.
All right, so motion made by Mr. Coles and seconded by Ms. Bowles to everything staff's recommendation says. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Hearing none, we'll enter a vote. Ms. Amick.
Yes.
Ms. Bowles.
Yes.
Mr. Coleman.
Yes.
Mr. Coles.
Yes.
Ms. Epstein.
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett.
Yes.
Mr. Kegler.
Yes.
Mr. Melder.
Yes.
Mr. Noah.
Yes.
Ms. Notrika.
Yes.
I two vote yes. And motion carried. The project is approved. Thank y'all.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Next item on the agenda is presentations. There are none listed. We're going to other business, and that is the appointment of a nominating committee. We are at that time to vote officers. So I actually am more than willing to take volunteers initially. We need 3, correct? So if anybody would like to volunteer to be a part of the nominating committee, that would be great. Otherwise, I suppose I have no choice but to appoint anyone. Yeah, I know. Wayne, yeah.
I'll serve, but I'm not.
That's fine. Mr. Noah?
Well, I thought this was just to nominate people, not serve.
No,
this is nominated. It's nominated.
I was like, what? Okay.
Ms. Bowles? Do we have one more?
No more? It's just one.
You just have to meet one.
You may not even have to meet that many times.
Ours was tricky. This one will be tricky.
This one should be very easy. No one. You don't want to do it, Ms. Jarrett? Oh, you say name the people that's not here?
I nominate Ms. Edelstein.
What's that? You said, so we nominate people that's not here. That's the do.
Oh,
well, she said she
I'm
can't.
Not for this one.
Yeah, she said yeah. Yeah. Let's probably do Mr. Irvin. Let's do Mr. Irvin. I think he'll do it. Joe Irvin.
Oh yeah.
I think he'll do it.
Yeah.
I mean, no one here wants to. No one here has been willing.
Show up. I don't even know what
we're
talking about.
Oh, so essentially right now we won't lock Mr. Irvin in just yet. We might be able to get Ms. Amick. So right now we're simply having a small group to have discussions about who they would like to nominate to be the executive committee going into the next term. That's it. And you bring names forward and. No, just whatever you guys coordinate. Okay, thank you. So we have Mr. Noah, Ms. Bowles, and Ms. Amick as our nominating committee.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, so you guys can, you know, coordinate however you need to coordinate to, establish your nominations. Obviously, since people are already stating that there has to be a chair, so somebody will chair it. Once you chair it, you guys put together your nominations, submit your slate, and then staff will present that for us to take action on as far as voting for a chairperson, a vice chair, a secretary, treasurer, correct? Right. And staff, when would we like this slate?
Next meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Right. So we had to vote by October for the new officers. So ideally, if we can coordinate to have a slate by the 12th, the meeting on the September the 12th, that'd be great. All right. So that takes care of everything. We appreciate that. There is no executive session today, so we can move into adjournment.
If I may, I want to make an announcement for those of you that don't know, and those of you who have met Edward. He's been appointed to be the director of current planning and development services. So I wanted to make sure that you all knew that. We actually went out and interviewed several folks, and I had a team of folks come in from the outside to go through the process, and he came out on top. So,
yay.
Good job, Mr. Morrow. Congratulations. We'll be sure to work you hard.
Cole's motion to adjourn.
All right.
Cole's motion to adjourn.
All right. Meeting is adjourned.